Hey, this is Adam Richman from Food Network UK, and you are feasting your ears on the Hotspur podcast. Come on, you Spurs.
To the Hot Spurs podcast. It is Friday the 27th of September 2019. I am Steve from Lee and C on Essex, and I've got a special guest this week. How about that? We've got Carl William. Did I say that right? Carl G. William.
Gwilliam. It's Gwilliam. So it's all one word, yeah.
All right. Are you Welsh?
No, but there is somewhere back in the line somewhere, apparently. There's a bit of Welshiness.
Lovely. Now, your dulcet tones, where are they from?
So I'm North London originally, born in North Mid Hospital, and then obviously lived there till I was about seven, and then we moved out to Hertfordshire, Cheshunt, Hertfordshire, mate.
Now, that's a lovely thing, but I wasn't talking about that. I mean, what? You know, you're a famous podcaster.
Well, I don't like to consider ourselves as that, mate. But yeah, normally we do the East Spurs podcast, and obviously we get yourself on with your quality Tottenham knowledge, and we like to try and give all the other podcasts out there a bit of a battle.
Now, listen, all those podcasts are a load of old rubbish compared to the East Spurs one, but unfortunately, that may be no further going forward. Doesn't matter though, because we've got all the other brilliant podcasts out there. You've got the Fighting Cop podcast, you've got the Last Word on Spurs, you've got the Spurs Show, and all the ones from America and everything. I listen to them all. Absolutely brilliant. Now, you won't hear any of them, by the way, mention our podcast, which, you know, doesn't grate on me. No, it's not a problem. Let's get straight to it then. Let's go to the Sky Sports app and look at all the news, all about our beloved club Tottenham. So here we go. First of all, Tottenham v Southampton preview. Carl, what are your thoughts?
I don't think this will be an easy one, Steve. I think this will be another one of those grind matches, to be honest, where I think, you know, it'll be one goal in it either way. And Southampton haven't had a bad start this year. So I think this could be quite a tight game, but we may just edge it 2-1, 1-0.
Project Fear. How about that? Project Fear. Unbelievable. As they say, the proverbial must win. Every game's a must win, apparently, for Spurs. It's one of those games. I remember a few seasons ago, went up to Spurs and I was meeting a very good friend, Dan Jones, just before the game, and we'd had a terrible run. Culminated in, a Europa game, wherever it was, Carabag or something like that, and we didn't get the result. And things were looking grim. And we had Wigan at home, and it was like, look, if we can't win this, we might as well all give up. And I said to Dan, we ain't winning today. In fact, we lost 1-0. And it was like, you know, we'd already hit rock bottom. And then it was like, Wigan, okay, here we go. This is it. Wigan at home. Perfect fixture. And we lost 1-0. That was in the Harry Redknapp days. Of course, when, you know, most results went our way. This is not quite as similar because we've only obviously had a couple of bad results. I think back then it was like 4 or 5, you know, and we were like, what's going on? But this is like a couple of bad results. It could be one of those games where, you know, I really think they're going to put 10 men behind the ball. They'd be crazy. They would be crazy to go for it in this game, wouldn't they, Southampton? Absolutely ridiculous. Put 10 men behind the ball, which is what they'll do, and we've got to break them down. Are Southampton the sort of side that can defend with 10 men behind the ball? I'm not so sure. A Burnley can do it brilliantly. Lots of other teams can do it brilliantly. Can Southampton? Hopefully not. I think the worst team in the Premier League and possibly in the world that can put 10 men behind the ball and defend is Tottenham Hotspur. I've never, ever seen us do it. And if we've ever gone 1 or 2 nil up, which of course we have recently, trying to defend, putting 10 men behind the ball, just impossible. Just cannot do it. You know, defend the ball, put your life on, put your body on the line, hoof it clear, let them come again. Spurs have never been able to do that. And I long for the day when we can actually do that. But look, so what are you going for? A 2-1?
I'll say 2-1, I think, Steve. Yeah. And like as you say, I think, you know, even if we go one up, you're never comfortable here till you're kind of 2 or 3 in the bag. But I think this, given the way the current things are feeling and the mood, I think this is going to be another edgy day. 2-1, I'll go for.
Okay. I'm going to go for a soppy 0-1. One of those horrible nil ones.
Let's hope not.
We'll be all right. You know, if we get that, then we'll do Brighton. Right, here we go. Sissoko signs new Spurs deal until 2023. Thoughts, Carl?
I would say, obviously, you know, if it was a season or so ago, we would have been wanting him out the door, wouldn't we? We would have been sort of saying, well, no, we don't want him given a new contract. But I think his last season, he kind of really stepped up and kind of started fulfilling that potential at a player we thought we could have. So I don't, you know, I'm quite happy with that. I'm not too disappointed that we've signed him on, because I think he has kind of been a much better player and someone that you kind of No, you can rely on at the moment.
Okay. What do the kids say? Meh. Is it meh?
Meh.
I'm a bit meh on that one. In terms of other news, let's have a look. We've got, Red Star fans banned from Spurs trip. You know, it doesn't really affect us that much. Any comments on that one?
No, they'll make a good atmosphere, won't they, for sure. So it'd be a bit disappointing, because sometimes a good atmosphere can get everyone going.
Yeah. Charlie Nicholas, I've mentioned this a few times, he keeps predicting a Spurs loss and an Arsenal win. This week he's predicted a Spurs win 2-0, but he's so insightful, Charlie Nicholas. In his comments he said, something's not quite right at Tottenham. Yeah, very insightful, Charlie. Well done. But he's obviously predicted an Arsenal win away at Man United. Now, a lot of podcasts, Carl, and a lot of Spurs fans say, oh, don't worry about Arsenal. We don't talk about them. Well, I do. I love talking about Arsenal because I can't stand them. So what do you reckon on a couple of those predictions? Let's do the Spurs one, obviously, we talked about. Arsenal away at Man United.
I don't see them winning that one.
What do you want? Go on, mate.
Well, we want to see another 8-2, possibly, if we can, can't we? You know, another embarrassment from up there would be nice. I don't see them winning it. I just don't think Arsenal on the road, that's where they're going to struggle massively this year. I think United nick that, possibly 2-0.
Do you know, I think they'll struggle on the road, but I don't think it'll be at teams like Man United. I've already seen that Martial's out, Rashford's out, Pogba's out because of his attitude. And it's like, how lucky is that? You know, once again. You know, I love talking about Arsenal. And at the moment, you know, they are a poor, poor team. But they keep on getting these results. I can't understand it. How they're getting these results is just beyond me. You know, you see these teams capitulate against them. 10 men, you know, Villa against West Ham the other day looked really, a really terrific side. They looked great. I didn't see the full match, obviously, against Arsenal, but they're completely capitulated against 10 men, whereas this crummy old team of Arsenal seems to get the result. Anyway, you know, let them think they're still better than us. You know, as long as they think they're better than us, I don't think they'll overtake us. Poch committed to Spurs fight. This is obviously the news conference.
His press conference, yeah. Sorry, the old presser, as they call it nowadays.
The presser, right. So the presser, he's talking about the Spurs to fight. Spurs are dangerous like a wounded boxer. What's all that all about, Carl? Tell us.
Yeah, I think he's tried to be a little bit more upbeat in his press conference, hasn't he? Because I think there was kind of labels being thrown at him that he was just looking a beaten man and looking tired. So I think he's kind of come out swinging and trying to at least look like he's up for the fight. And I think, yeah, he's just trying to spread a bit of confidence and uplift everything and try to lift the mood a little there with that one. But I think the performance and the next few performances will tell us really what things are actually like behind the scenes and if we are prepared for a fight.
He's been criticised, hasn't he, for being downbeat and looking miserable and everything else. So it was a bit more upbeat on this one, definitely. I don't know, whether he's been told to be a little bit more positive. I'm not sure about that. Now Dyer, we'll talk about Colchester game. Dyer said Spurs need to be more humble. Poch planning for January fixes. But let's just talk about the Colchester game. And what we'll do, Carl, is we'll go player by player. So I'll just get the team up. Because, first of all, let's go through some stats. So the stats on the game were that we had 75% possession. We had about 20 chances to their 5. They had 1 on target. We had 4 on target. In terms of the actual game, we dominated the game. In terms of the way they played, they're a League Two team. They played like a lower Premier League team, if you like. They defended 10 men behind the ball, absolutely correct thing to do, and they put their bodies on the line. And not that they needed to, perhaps. But they played terrific. For ourselves, I just thought we passed side to side, and we treated it like a training match. Let's go through the team. Gazzaniga, in goal. Thoughts?
Yeah, he hasn't looked solid this year, has he? He's kind of looked a little bit worrying in a couple of games, and he's spilt some shots that you kind of, we got away with one at the Leicester game, didn't we, where he spills that. And he came in last year a little bit and looked quite confident, whereas he hasn't kind of looked as confident this season. But I think with goalkeepers, it's just about regular football, isn't it? And if you're not going to get regular games, then when you do come in, there's lots of pressure and you may start fumbling things because you're trying so hard to impress. But he hasn't looked as good as he possibly did last season.
I'm really not concerned about goalkeepers, mate. I'm really not concerned. Look at Adrian, right? Can't get in the West Ham side. Goes to the top of the league. Yeah. And Alisson's nearly back. You know, if they win again this weekend and Adrian's in goal, is Klopp going to drop Adrian and put Alisson in? I mean, I don't think he will.
No, I don't think he would either.
The goalie when you're top of the league, you know.
Yeah. That
shows you. I'm not really concerned with goalkeepers, to be honest. You know what I hate though? When they did the penalty shootout, they did the angle behind the goal. It's like, look, I hate that angle. Do the angle when it's side on. The one.
Yeah, exactly.
The World Cup angle, if you like. Tanganga, thoughts?
I felt he did okay for his first game. You know, you can see there's some potential there, but obviously he wasn't really put under any pressure. So it will need to be given a bit of a sterner test, shall we say, if we're going to see what we've got there. But, you know, promising. Looks like he could be a promising player. Had a good pre-season as well.
No idea. I watched the whole game on a friend of mine's house who had the dodgy stream. Not my house, of course. and can't tell you what he did. Davinson Sanchez.
It was one, again, I think like as you said there with the stats kind of show that we were never really put under much pressure where those defenders kind of had that much to do and be scrutinised too much. He did what he had to do and did it reasonably well this game. So nothing too much there on him.
What about Ben Davis and Walker Peters?
Unfortunately, I think they're where we kind of fall down a little bit, don't we, in our formation, because neither of them can really get forward as well as we kind of need fullbacks to do it. So, again, like as you say, I think they are your kind of meh, okay performances, but we need better, to be honest, from those wide attacking fullbacks.
I like Ben Davis. I think he's a really
He's solid. That's the one thing you can't knock him for. He is a solid player who you know will defend and do it reasonably well. But I think people seem to think he's going to be some sort of speedy winger, which he's not that.
Just reminds me of watching Nigel Winterburn for 10 years at Arsenal. And look at that and going, what's he? What, you know, he's a rubbish player. He's nothing. Yet he played for 10 years in that back four for Arsenal. He's an absolute legend. And, you know, fair play to him.
Yeah, definitely.
That's when I talk to Arsenal fans and I say, like, who's your left back? And they say, you know, Socrates or Maitland-Niles or whoever it is. Yeah, I know it's Bellerin, but he's injured. He's coming back now. But they mention his name. So, you know, the guy at our place, Ben Davis, what do you reckon on him? They love him because they see that solid, just a normal guy who just wants to play football. And don't forget that Ben Davis has supplied a lot of very, very good goals for us. I think it was Kane's fifth or sixth goal at Everton last year. It was a great ball in.
North London Derby at Wembley.
Of course, North London Derby. You know, I like Ben Davis. Carl Walker-Peters, he played a great game. Was it Bournemouth last year at home where he set up like, did we win 5-0? He set up four of them, something like
that. That's it, yeah. I think it was 4-0, wasn't it? And he assisted three of them and everyone was calling for him after that.
I mean, the guy looks a decent little player. But not sure. But the two of them, you know, as wing backs, you know, needed to get forward more. Whether that was their fault, I don't know. You know, what I'm doing, Carl, is as I'm going through these players for that Colchester game, is I'm trying to pick out poor performances.
Yeah.
I can't do it. Not yet anyway.
So the not back, across there, not at all.
So the back four or five we're happy with, because they really didn't do anything wrong. Let's get into the field. Wanyama, if you don't mind, Carl, I'll start with this one.
Yeah, go for it, mate.
Wanyama, a couple of times, Colchester were breaking forward, and Wanyama put in a couple of great tackles. Now, I know it's against League Two opposition, but that's his job. So he won the ball, he laid it off. In my opinion, Carl, Wanyama did nothing wrong in that Colchester game. Thoughts?
Yeah, I think there was a spell right near the end of the first half where I think he put three really bad passes, really, you know, astray, nowhere near anyone in a white shirt. And, you know, the camera panned on him when he was laughing and you were kind of thinking, come on, mate, you know, you've just had about three passes there that were dreadful. I think, unfortunately, I feel for him a little bit because I think he's gone. You know, he's not going to be that player we signed that first year we had him. And unfortunately, he's going to become the scapegoat, isn't he? Because everyone loves someone to pick on as the player to blame, and he's going to become that. But again, you know, in that game, he's asked to be sent, you know, defensive midfielder, and he never really had that much to do other than win it back and lay it off a couple of times. And as you say, he didn't do it that badly. So, yeah, I don't see really why anyone's aiming mass criticism at him like, you know, he's the guy that it's his fault that we've lost that tie.
Right, well, you just reminded me, he did give the ball away a couple of times, actually, yeah. Right, okay. But his job is to win the ball. Now, people are all going, yeah, he's finished, he's done. I don't know what he's doing, putting on a Spurs shirt then, if he's done and he's finished. We know he wanted to, not wanted to go, but he was on the verge of signing for Bruges. Didn't do it. And whatever he's doing, you know, coming on against Leicester, playing this game, I'm not sure. But as ever the optimist, you know, I'm almost like, go on then, give him another chance. Oliver Skip. How old's Oliver Skip, mate?
How old?
Yeah.
He's only, what, 20, 21 now, is he? He might not even be that. He might not even be that at the moment, but he's certainly no more than 21, I don't think.
Okay, I'll give him a break. But just watching that game, I'm thinking, here's your chance. This is the one. You're a young kid. go and get the ball, demand the ball. You've got Wanyama and Dyer behind you at plus a back four. Don't worry about them, boys. Get yourself forward. Get yourself, you know, involved. And terribly disappointed with his performance.
Yeah, I think he's a very safe player, isn't he? Which, you know, we kind of have brought through quite a few of these recently, where it's nice if you're just knocking the ball sideways. But as you say, if you want someone to drive with the ball or get a creative pass going forward, then I don't actually see that in his game at the moment, which I kind of start worrying that we'll just see him slip away because he won't be able to come in and kind of have the sort of performances where, like as you say, he claims a shirt.
Yeah, I mean, I just thought that the three of them, Wanyama, Skip and Dyer, the whole game just went sideways, 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 sideways,
yeah.
Sideways.
And yeah,
when are you lads going to get it through your head that this is your chance? You know, it's nil-nil. They all expected the game to, you know, this is sewn up, we'll be fine. You know, okay, nil-nil at half-time, doesn't matter. We've got enough strength. We've got, you know, we've got the skillful players up front. You know, any moment now, there's going to be a pass on, we'll pass it to them. But for the moment, I'll just pass it back, or I'll just pass it sideways. And not one of those boys went, actually, I need to sort myself out. Eric Dyer, moving on to him, one of my favourite players of the last 5 years. Absolutely love the guy. Gutted that he's lost his form in the last year to 18 months. Absolutely gutted. But he seems to be back. He's been on the bench a couple of times this season, and this was the game. I think he had a shot in the last 5 minutes, however, which tamely went to the goalkeeper. Apart from that, you know, is Eric Dyer going, pick me for Saturday, pick me for Saturday? What do you think?
Yeah, as you say, I think, unfortunately, yeah, he seems to have dropped off a cliff, doesn't he, from the player we had that Sunday United were after. You know, been unlucky with injuries, possibly, so maybe he needs a run to try and get himself back. But as you say, again, you've got to put a performance in that makes the manager pick you. And again, did he do that? I don't think so. You know, again, it was a safe performance. Well, my passing percentage will be at 90%, 95%, but that's because it's gone 2 yards backwards or 2 yards sideways all the time. To take a risk, you know, get hold of it, run the game. So I think we still have to see on him because I think he needs a run of games. But right now, again, no one's grabbing a shirt.
No. Dele Alli will agree here, I'm sure, that 2 years ago, you know, or 3 years ago, we discovered a player from NK Dons. And we had about 18 months of, you know, a sensational player, really. Someone who almost, you know, not in terms of the way that he looks or the way that he plays the game, but the attitude of giving the ball, very Gazza-like. In terms of give me the ball, I'll do something with it. You know, fantastic finishing, brilliant ball player, skillful. Not the new Gazza, if you like, but someone that excites you, someone that scores goals, someone that you know, number one on your team sheet each week. Well, what the hell was that performance in the week from Dele Alli? What's going on?
Yes, it's another worrying one, isn't it? Because as you say, for once, I thought we'd finally got our, you know, 15, 16 goal a season midfielder that we were crying out for most years. And where that player's gone, I don't know. Whether that's a case of he's concentrating too much on other things, but whatever it is, he really needs to try and discover that form that made him that player we'd got at first, because he was special and we certainly haven't seen that player at all for a long while now.
No. I mean, I do think about, you know, over history, you know, you do get these players that, you know, play for one or two seasons, they're fantastic, and then they completely and utterly almost self-destruct. I'm thinking of people like Lee Hendry. Remember him at Aston Villa?
Yeah, yeah.
Who, as a matter of fact, now is a very, very nice guy. But he, you know, was played for England a couple of times. He was brilliant for Aston Villa for about two or three seasons. And he was the next big thing. And then just completely fell off the radar. You know, and of course, birds, booze, you know, in his words, let's be a little bit woke about this. lady friends, you know, but that, you know, that's the thing. Has Dele Alli gone down that road? Has he kind of gone a little bit to his head? You know, can he walk down the road without someone saying, oh, I love you? Has it gone to his head a little bit? Possibly. You know, you wouldn't say it's against, you know, out of character for a guy like him. You know, he's a good-looking fella. You know, he had the old, you know, clips going around on social media and everything. Does he care? Is he interested? Has he got a few quid in the bank? And he's thinking, do I really care about this? What do you reckon, Carl?
Yeah, that is the interesting thing, isn't it? You know, is suddenly his media profile more important to him than actually being the player that scores goals and wins games for a team? And I guess that is a good question for most of these young players across football now, isn't it? Because how many of these players do we see that, you know, have one good season and then suddenly, you know, they start hyping up their Instagram accounts and that, and suddenly the form dips? So I just hope he can find some form again, because the players, you say, that player we found, we couldn't believe it. And now to suddenly kind of lose that player and see him just kind of slowly decline the way he is has been a real shame. But I guess he probably, as you say, Dan, there is a question about his desire there, I think, which we could throw at quite a few of our players at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, it's a real shame. Lucas Moura, he was, you know, he did look dangerous at times. But once again, this is your chance. I don't think we can be too critical of Lucas Moura, because he's basically the guy that is our generation's Ricky Villa. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
I think that goal, you know, the hat trick, but the goal he scored was our moment of, you know, of our parents, of our dads, you know, the exhilaration that they got when Ricky Villa scored that goal. For me, how old are you, Carl?
42 this year, mate.
42, so you're the same age as me. So for us, sorry, I thought you were a bit younger. For us, it's probably Gazza's goal.
Definitely.
For us, it's Gazza's goal. So for my dad, it's the Ricky Villa goal. For us, it's the Gazza goal. And then the younger generation, you know, they will never forget that Lucas Moura goal. That will be their thing. But against Colchester, what's going on?
Do you ever think that he flatters to kind of deceive when he gets a start? See, I'm starting to wonder whether he's a kind of an impact player off the bench, because he kind of has those come off the bench against City, gets the header straight away and we're all in love with him again. Whenever he then gets a start the following week, you kind of puts in one of those sort of performances where you go, yeah, okay, in little flashes, but, you know, not good enough, if you like, to kind of cause problems for a full 90. And I do wonder whether he's more of a better impact player.
I just think that Lucas Moura is a Brazilian international. I don't know how many games he plays for Brazil, but just give him the ball. I mean, there's a brilliant interview. It wasn't an interview even. It was Ian Wright was on Talk Sport one time. It's about 5 or 6 years ago. And he was talking about Graham Taylor when he died. And he just said, I tell you, Graham Taylor, when we played for England, he said, all he used to say was, give it to Gazza. Give it to Gazza. And that was his half-time team talk. And at the time, I was thinking, that's wonderful. And I'm going to tell you another Gazza story in a minute involving Bobby Robson. But give it to Gazza, give it to Gazza. And I love that, because I think to myself, why don't managers do that more? You know, your most creative player, give it to him. Give it to him so he can do his stuff. So in this game against Colchester, you're wondering why they, rather than skip Dyer and Wanyama, just going pass, give it to Mora. And then tell Lucas Mora, listen, when you get it, run at them, take them on. 9 times out of 10, you're going to get tackled or a go at a play or whatever, but don't worry about it. Don't pass the ball, Lucas. Do not pass. Like, almost like you're giving Ginola instructions.
Don't it was like when we had Barry, wasn't it?
Don't pass the ball. Just when you get it, run at them and do your stuff. And,
yeah, 100%.
If you get tackled, don't worry about it, all right? If there's an obvious pass on, fine. The other lovely Gazza story I love about is when he played, there was a testimonial just before Bobby Robson died. And it was at St. James's Park. And Bobby Robson was in his wheelchair at the time. I don't know if you remember this. But he was being wheeled along. And he got to Gazza. And Gazza obviously like kissed him on the head and all that sort of business. Anyway, they played the game. And this is what happened afterwards. So literally, Bobby Robson died about 8 days or within the week of that game, right? But somebody went to the hospital and that night or the next day and went up to Bobby Robson. And by the way, in that testimonial where Bobby Robson was the guest of honour, obviously it was his thing, he had to actually go to hospital during the game because he was so ill. Anyway, someone went to the hospital to see how he was. Bobby Robson's right. He's on his deathbed, okay? He's got days to live. He can barely speak, okay? And the guy goes up to him, and this is not a joke, this is what happened. And he said, "You're right, Bobby, how are you? The testimonial went okay, blah, blah." And he went, "Oh, okay, yeah, I'm all right. He went, "By the way, how did Gazza play?"
Yeah, I know. When Gazza heard that story, he broke down, didn't he? Because he just couldn't believe it. Oh, I've heard that story. Yeah, it's a really great story, and it just showed you the love that bloke had for that guy, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know the love of football, right? So it's the love of the guy's on his dying breath, the love of football, but the love for a talented, creative player who we all adore. And on his dying breath, said, and this is a testimonial, how did Gazza play? I mean, I don't think we've ever heard what the guy said back to him. To be honest with you, he stubbed his toe after 5 minutes and had to come off. You know, he cried. But,
you wouldn't have the heart,
that's
would
expected.
You?
You know,
he was rubbish, Bobby.
he had a double brandy and he entertained everyone in the changing room afterwards. But I'm sure that's not what you wanted to hear. No, I mean, look, I just love that. It's so that's so football, isn't it?
That's great.
One, Troy Parrott. A lot of people on Twitter and across all the other podcasts were going, "Yeah, can't wait to see Troy Parrott." For me, Carl, I'm sorry. And I don't want to be a downer on all this. Look, Troy Parrott is a reserve player, okay? And I love my Spurs. I watch as much Spurs as the next man. I watch everything to do with Spurs. I YouTube Spurs. I go on everything. I watch all the DVDs with my boy. I try and watch as much. I do not watch the youth team, okay? I'm sorry I don't, but I don't. So I know nothing about Troy Parrott apart from what I see occasionally on Twitter or sometimes or the occasional bloke who goes, "Oh yeah, Troy Parrott's brilliant." Well, anyway, he played. So I'm not like going, "Oh yeah, can't wait to see him." Oh, he's anyway. Sorry, what am I looking at, Carl? Tell me.
Yeah, I was like, I'm like you, Steve, to be honest. I didn't know much about him. We'd seen a few goals of his, haven't we, on social media now, and he's kind of being hyped up as the next Harry Kane. I feel that's kind of unfair on the guy because, you know, the step up from where he is now to kind of Premier League football, that level of football is massive. And I think he's kind of being hyped up as our saviour striker that's going to come in when Harry's out. And I think there's a little way to go yet before we see that kind of player. So he kind of come in. I think, you know, there was a lot of expectation. I didn't see a lot that made me kind of go, oh wow, yeah, look at this guy we've got. This is going to be amazing. Again, I think, like, you know, as we said before, it was just a kind of it was okay. You know, a few good bits, a few bad bits, and I think there's a long way to go for him.
Yeah, I mean, people before the game go, yeah, can't wait to see him and all this. I'm like, really? You know, the guy that I was looking forward to seeing was this Marcus Edwards.
Yeah, I was so gutted about him, Steve, because we'd seen stuff, watched clips of him, and you're thinking, that's the kind of young player I really want to see us bring through. This little tricky guy that takes people on, plays the ball, you know, he's got the skill. And I'm so disappointed that we probably won't ever get to see what he was really like, because, you know, we've got lots of safe players. I think Winks, Mason, you know, we brought lots of those type of players through, and he was one that I thought he looks a bit different. But we've never seen him, and I don't think, you know, obviously we never will, and that is a disappointment, because he looked like he had some promise.
Yeah, well, let's see. I mean, if he where's he now? Vitória in Portugal.
He's gone to Portugal, isn't he? Yeah.
Well, let's see. You know, if he does really well, is he on loan?
No, I'm not sure if they've actually brought him out right now. I think he may have gone permanently, but I think he's going to be one of them. We either look back and go, yeah, great decision to get rid of him, or he'll come back to bite us in about two or three seasons where we go, oh, we had this geezer.
Who was the lad from Palace who was going to be the next big thing and turned out
Bostock. John Bostock. Yeah, he was sold. He was the next Messi, wasn't he? And we brought him and never saw him.
Wasn't it? Because Simon Jordan said he was absolutely amazing. He was so upset. He fell out of love with football because of that.
Yeah.
I mean, how wrong can you be? And I like Simon Jordan because I do like characters. You know, I love Mourinho. I think he's a character. Roy Keane at the moment is terrific to watch. You know, these characters they've got on Sky Sports are terrific. It's the ones that I can't stand, like your Thierry Henry's, who was a decent player, but in terms of character, listen to his opinions, Christ, boring as hell. You know, okay, you've got a sexy French accent, but you know, you need to say more than, you know, say something entertaining, please. Listen, just very quickly, the Leicester game, okay? Right, here we go. This is my little mini rant. We play Olympiakos on the Wednesday, right? We then play Leicester on the Saturday at 12:30. Everybody from about mid-July, round the pool, when you went on holiday, all your mates, everyone you know, you talk about Leicester, every single one of them goes, do you know what? They've got a decent side. They are good. They're going to be good next year, right? So then we've got July, August, September. 3 months of everyone banging on about how good Leicester are going to be. Carl, very quickly, did anybody say to you, I don't think Leicester are going to be that good?
No, I think most people were kind of tipping to be the surprise, weren't they?
So everybody says they're going to be a good side, right? Now we play Olympiakos, Champions League game away from home. Olympiakos didn't concede a goal in their first, two or three games of the season. Won 4 or 5-0, if I heard rightly. We go there, tune it up, 2-2. Our fault, absolutely. But big challenging game in Europe, over in Greece. Four and a half hour flight. Get back, 12:30 kickoff against Leicester. We match them for the entire game. That game could have gone either way very easily. Son, if he A, would have held his run by 0.00001 millisecond, would have been onside, or if the technology could actually tell us when the ball's kicked or when the ball leaves his foot. I mean, I still don't know to this day what the VAR thing is. You know, I'm not criticising that particular decision because I think it will go either way throughout the season. You know, it will be 50-50. But, you know, that could easily have said, actually, you know, that one's a goner, which means we're 2-0 up. We then defend, you know, pretty poorly. But Maddison's goal is a terrific strike. You know, that is a brilliant goal by Maddison in the last 5 minutes, which wins the game for Leicester 2-1. Which, sorry, but all the pundits said they would win 2-1. Most of us Spurs fans said, well, Leicester have got a terrific side this year. We've just come back from Europe. Chances are we're going to lose that 2-1 away from home. And then you get, oh, it's a disgrace. Spurs are in disarray. What are we doing? This, that and the other. It's like, we all predicted we'd lose 2-1. What's the big, you know, amazing thing? Yeah, just because we didn't win. Anyway, Carl, thoughts?
Yeah, I'm pretty much of similar vein to you, Steve. You know, in all honesty, if that second goal stands, we win that game because Leicester were creaking at that point, and we were knocking on the door regularly. And like I say, if that second goal stands, then I think that kills Leicester off and we come away with a brilliant result. Like as you say, we shot ourselves in the foot with some bad defending for the first. The second goal is a screamer, you know. And again, as you say, a tough game. There won't be many sides that get a result at Leicester this season with their team. So, yeah, you know, when you look at it overall, we were the better side that game. We just got undone by a brilliant goal at the end to nick it.
Absolutely. So just calm down, everybody. I mean, for goodness sake. Right. We've done the Southampton review already. Where, Carl, are we going to finish this year?
Oh, great question. Great question. Unfortunately, I get the impression we could be about to slip out that top four and maybe finish fifth. I think it'll be fourth or fifth, one of them two.
Give us your top four then.
I'm going to go City, Liverpool. Oh, this is where it is tough because I think all of those sides below them are going to swap and change around all throughout the season. No, do you know what, Steve? I'm going to go confident. I would say we'll finish third.
See, I got you.
I think if you think about those other teams... Yeah, if you think about those other sides, from what I've seen, they're all going to drop points the same way we are over the course of the season. So, yeah, I think we'll get our act together and finish third.
You know who's got a decent side? It's Chelsea.
Yeah.
They've got a decent side.
Good squad.
And look, many listeners to this podcast know, and they no one's ever had a go at me about it, because I think they swallow it and then, you know, they don't want to. Who likes swallowing? But it's a fact. Frank Lampard was a footballer who was average at best. Everyone said it. But what he did was he used his brain and he went, right, what can I do? I'm a professional footballer. Now what can I? I'm not that good. I'm nowhere near as good as my cousin Jamie, but what can I do? And what he did was he worked and he used his brain. And we all know that he's an author and he's extremely intelligent. Frank Lampard, let's make no mistake about it, is going to do fantastically with Chelsea. The reason is because he's clever. And what most managers and footballers aren't, is clever. And I've said this many, many times. There's loads of great players out there, but in terms of intelligence, it's very low, very, very low. And fair play, because, you know, they've done brilliantly in the world of football. And I'd swap my incredibly high intelligence to be a footballer as well. But, you know, it's not going to happen. I'm just going to have to stick with what I've got. Frank Lampard knows what to do. Very, very clever guy. I think Chelsea are going to be the team to reckon with this year. Spurs, they've got the players. Get them in order, get them sorted out, the players will be fine. Man United, kind of got the players, haven't got the manager. Nice guy, not tough enough. Arsenal, haven't got the players. They've got two decent strikers, good goalkeeper, bugger all else. They're going to finish well below Leicester and probably Wolves. Thoughts?
Yeah, I would agree there. I think Lampard has possibly, you know, he's had a, you know, I think they've had a decent start, you know, and in all honesty, they could have got something out of that game at the weekend with Liverpool, to be honest. So they were unlucky there. I kind of agree, I agree with you on the United thing. I've said many a time before, Solskjaer will be gone before Christmas, and they'll be looking for another manager. And yeah, so I would agree with you. I think if we can sort our act out, we are the third best side in the country. And then I would put Chelsea behind us. I'd probably put Leicester ahead of United and Arsenal at the moment as well.
See, they always capitulate, listeners. With a little bit of common sense, they always agree with me in the end.
Very persuasive, you are, mate. Very persuasive.
I know nothing. Look, you know, it's been great having a chat. You know, at the end of the day, this is what it's all about. We love our Spurs. We go on Twitter, Facebook, we talk about it. We have a go at people and everything. It, you know, let's have a laugh. Let's enjoy it. Let's criticise. At the end of the day, we know nothing about what happens behind the scenes, but we speculate, and there's nothing wrong with that. But look. Let's look forward, you know, we'll be all right. I think we'll be all right. What do you reckon, Carl? We'll be all right, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think it'll sort itself out. You know, I mean, and let's face it, come January, Levy's going to get the checkbook and change the whole squad, isn't he? So we'll be all right.
All right, boss. Thanks so
much. Nice one. Cheers, mate. Thank you. Been great.
We'll talk again. All right, mate.
Nice one, mate.
Love it. Come on, you